Amen. Appreciate that. All right, we're in Ephesians chapter 4. If you need a copy of your lesson, that come out pretty good. I guess you can see that. Putting on the new man, controlling anger. And I came across this picture as I was putting this together, and I thought it kind of depicts some people. It's been in my office. It's amazing that I've had young children, third or fourth grade level, is that young, have that type of expression on their face. And they come in, you try to deal with them about issues or things or whatever, and just anger. I've had adults sit in my office and look that way, and anger is a real issue that we need to deal with. And we're going to put on the new man, as Paul is dealing with in chapter 4 of Ephesians. One of the things he tells us to put off is this matter of anger. We need to control anger. So in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 26, it says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." So controlling anger. We're living in a very angry society. It seems like everybody's mad about everything. And it's an alarming thing, because the anger has brought them to a point of being completely out of control. And that's what anger does. If you are guided by just mere motion of anger, you will be out of control, and you end up doing things that you wish you had not done. And certainly the outcome would not be a positive outcome in your life. Paul deals here, it gives an admonishment to the believer to be angry and sin not. And certainly anger is an emotion that we have, but we cannot allow our anger to move us into a place of sinning against one another, and certainly sinning against our God. And so the admonishment is, be angry, but don't sin. You're not supposed to fall into sin. And the acknowledgement of this and dealing with this matter of being angry and sinning not is neither give place to the devil. And so the way that you can control anger in your life is don't give room for the devil to come in and generate that type of response in you. And here's some quotes, they're in your notes there, that I thought were very good. It says, "Anger is a negative emotion that is aroused when a person's self-centered position is threatened. It's a defense response that stimulates thoughts, feelings, and actions that are contrary to the will of God." And the more and more we become a selfish society, more and more all we're worried about is about how everything impacts me, and about who I am and what I experience and what I desire, and whether I don't get what I desire or whatever. The stronger this society becomes as being self-centered, the more anger you're going to see. Because the reality is, you don't always have everything. You don't always experience everything. You don't have, everything's not always good. And not everything is always just in how you deal with things in life. And so if everything revolves around me, myself, and I, when me, myself, and I are not happy, then anger is going to come out. And I think it's one of the exposures that we have in our society of people being so angry is because we're becoming so selfish. A poll was taken among 5,000 wives, which revealed that a woman's respect for a husband is proportionate to how he controls his anger. And certainly it's a good lesson for us men to realize, if we want respect from our wives, then you need to get your anger under control. And you need to be able to respond in a positive way and not in a fleshly way, because you not only want to fulfill the will of God, you certainly want to build respect in your family, with your wife, with your children, and certainly as a believer with other believers within the church. And so anger does affect your ability to have be shown respect. Here's another one I came across. A man must control his anger, for if he does not, he loses his sense of integrity. The Lord loses the man's ministry, and other people are harmed. How much better it is to transfer the energy extended in anger to love and service of the Lord. And so there is a better way to live other than allowing this energy that is built up inside of us, a frustration because we don't like the way things are going, and just flying off the handle and being angry, to direct that. How can I be a help to someone else? How can I reach out to someone else? I don't like what's going on in my life, but you know what? I need to overcome these feelings that I have and reach out and be a blessing to someone else. And you redirect that energy so that it's not just an inward bomb that's sizzling, that's about ready to go off, and you don't diffuse that bomb, and next thing you know, it blows up, and then you're, depending on how severe it is, you can be in some real serious trouble because of an angry spirit. In our text, it says, "Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." We need to identify some of the words that are used there just to help us understand what Paul is saying. Notice he says, "Be ye angry." The word angry there means to provoke, or literally to arouse anger in yourself or in someone else. And so we have to be careful that we're not putting ourselves in situations where we're provoking our anger, or you're not around someone else to where you are provoking the anger in them. And so it's very easy. I often say, I know what buttons to push to make my wife upset. And if I want to have a good Christian discussion, I know what button to push and we can have a good discussion. Amen. And but the reality is, if I'm going to be smart about it, I'm not going to push those buttons. I might get knocked out, you know. And so I don't want to provoke her to anger. And Bing knows what I'm talking about. Amen. So the word anger here, be ye angry, is dealing with the concept of provoking that energy, provoking that emotion in someone else, or provoking it even in yourself. And so to provoke, it says here, be angry and sin not. The word sin there just means to miss the mark, to wander from the path that we ought to be on. And so if you allow yourself to be provoked to anger, provoked to be emotionally distressed, it's going to cause you to miss the mark or get off the path that God wants you to be on in your Christian life. And certainly, you know, it's always interesting. Couples, when they get into arguments together, they think they're going to solve the argument by raising the volume. And you think the louder you talk, the stronger you emphasize how you feel, the more anger that you can express is going to solve the problem, when in reality, a soft answer turneth away wrath. And so it's hard in a time of a heated argument to have a soft answer, but that's the answer to the problem. Because if you allow your emotions of anger to continue to provoke one another, to raise the emotions higher and higher, you're going to miss the mark. You're not going to solve the problem. You're not going to be able to control yourself, and you'll be in sin. So it means to miss the mark. Letter C, it says here, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon thy wrath. And so we often say you need to keep short accounts. You don't want to go to bed angry with one another. You want to make sure you get things right with one another, apologize with one another, forgive one another, whatever. But the word wrath there just means to have indignation. It carries it with it, the idea of exasperation. I mean, just you're frustrated because it's out of your control. And so now you're angry. And Paul is saying this, don't go to bed at night with this exasperation that's on your hearts. Don't go to bed at night with indignation in your soul, because all it's going to do is fester all night long, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse. So be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon thy wrath. Then he says, neither give place to the devil in verse 27. The word give there means to be of one's own accord to give. In other words, it's a choice that you make. Neither give place to the devil, neither give, in other words, don't you decide that you're going to give the devil room to get into your life in that area. Because you're the one that is the one who makes the determining factor, the decision whether or not you're going to let your emotions get out of control or whether you're going to keep yourself under control. And, I've heard people say, well, I don't know, it's just, I can't control it. Yes, you can. And we live in a society where everybody says you can't control anything. And I think we sell ourselves short because the reality is, because of Christ dwelling in us, we can control all things in our life. And so he says, neither give place. Don't make it your choice to give room for the devil. Well, the word place is interesting. You know what it means. It just means any portion or space that is marked off. You know, this is right here, this pulpit is a place. Why? Because it's a portion, it's a space that we've been identified as, this is where the preaching in the church will take place. And so when he talks about neither give place to the devil, he's saying don't give the devil any room to get in. You can make the choice to resist the devil. You can make the choice to say, I'm not going to allow the emotional distress that's in my life to take control to where the devil now can manage my life. And so neither give place to the devil. And the emphasis in verse 26 and 27 is on the fact that the individual, that's you, that's me, can make a decision to surrender our emotions to the power of Christ, and we do not have to be overrun and distraught with anger to the point where it's out of control and where it takes us down a path of sin and it takes us down a path of destruction, and God can help us to be able to make the decision that will enable us to control our anger. And so we need to learn how to do that. And there's been kids I've counseled with adults about this thing, about controlling our anger. You've got to get yourself under control. I'm thankful the Apostle Paul said, I buffet my body and bring it to subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should also be a castaway. And people say, oh, I just can't control myself. Yes, you can control yourself. You're choosing not to.
Right.
It is a choice. And so you have the power of the Spirit of God on you. You have the presence of Christ in you. And you have the promises that are in the Word of God. And you can make it, if you can make a decision to be out of control, then you can make a decision to be in control. Because what you are and how you respond and how you act is your own decision. And that's why Joshua would say, choose you this day whom you serve. It is a conscious choice every moment of every day to decide, I'm going to serve Christ. Choose you this day. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve your flesh that is out of control? You're going to serve the devil who is motivating and stirring you to be angry and resentful? Or are you going to choose to surrender to Christ and live and bathe yourself, as it were, in the love of Christ, abiding in the love of Christ so that you can be able to love others also? It is a conscious choice that we make. And we need to make choices that will put us in a spirit of surrender to Christ so that we can get ourselves under control. So first of all, we need to think about anger, of how it affects others. And I think if we would stop and contemplate on how our emotional responses affect others, if we love one another, if you love your family, then certainly you're going to make a choice to do what is beneficial to them rather than affecting them in a negative way. But here's what anger is. First of all, Genesis 49:7, it is fierce and cruel. In Genesis chapter 49, we know that Jacob is pronouncing a blessing on his children, And in chapter 49, verse 7, Jacob says this in reference to Simeon and Levi. He says, "Cursed be their anger." Now, you can cross references back, and you remember the story about Dinah, their sister that was defiled, and how Simeon and Levi would make a pact with Shechem, and they agreed to be one with them. And they had all the men of the city be circumcised. And when they were sore and unable to defend themselves, Simeon and Levi came in and they killed all the men of the city. And why did they do that? They did that because they were angry because of what had happened to their sister, Dinah. And Jacob, when he's pronouncing at the end of his life a blessing or a curse on his children, before he departs from this life, he says, "Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel." And he said, "I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel." See, anger affects others because of the fierceness and because of the cruelty. And you get somebody that's out of control with their emotions in this matter of anger, I mean, they are not taking any thought at that moment about how severe their actions are towards someone else. And they'll do all kinds of things, all kinds of cruel things. Women are battered and beaten because of men being angry at their wives. There have been children that have been killed because of a dad that got angry because the baby's crying, and he just grabs the baby and he shakes the baby or whatever, and not intending to harm his baby, but because of the fierceness of his anger and because of the cruelty that comes out in anger, he slays his own child. Now, we have to realize this, that this thing of anger is a serious problem that needs to be addressed in each one of our lives. Some of us may have anger that's just, you know, very mild, and we just get upset about things and we realize we're stupid about that, and so we repent of it real quick. There's others who are just out of control when it comes to anger, and you're on the borderline of becoming fierce and cruel. And I've been in homes over the years where, you know, children have been neglected, where children have been abused. I've been in homes where a woman has been battered and beaten up. I was even years ago now, in a home where the man was beat up. I mean, that woman beat him about to death. And I'll tell you, you get angry, get a woman angry and let her loose. You better watch out. But anyway, it's fierce and it's cruel. Understand the effects of anger on others that are around you. Think of what it's doing to your children. Think of what it's doing to your spouse. What about your friends? It is fierce and it's cruel. Notice in 1 Kings chapter 19, it instills fear. It instills fear. And I just know this. There's been many a child that sits in fear because of the fact of the anger that gets out of control in the home. And this is where Elijah is fearing for his life because of the anger of Jezebel. We're talking about the prophet of God, the prophet who stands up in front of 400 prophets of Baal. No fear whatsoever, but he's afraid of Jezebel's anger. And 1 Kings 19:1 says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.' And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, and which belongeth to Judah, and left a servant there." I mean, Elijah is fleeing because of the anger of Jezebel. Now, anger can instill in people a fear of you. And certainly, we don't want people to be afraid of us. We want to make sure that we have the proper relationships together, and that's because we can have that relationship because of the fact that our emotions, our anger is under control. You don't want your children, you have to discipline your children, but you don't want your children afraid of you because you're going to hurt them or harm them in some way. I respected my father, and I respected, I didn't like his discipline, but I respected, now I'm older and understanding what it was all about. I can say this, I was never afraid of my father. I feared the discipline. Who likes being disciplined? But I was never afraid of my father. And there's many children who are scared to death of their mom or their dad, and it's because of this anger that is out of control. The emotions that are just being driven, and frustration that is exercised. And listen, discipline is not you reacting in frustration and anger to beat your children. And certainly in your relationship one with another, this matter of being rebuking or being arrogant towards one another or being mouthy towards one another, No. You say, well, I don't understand why people don't like me. Well, maybe you need to get your emotions under control so that you're not instilling fear in others and how you respond to them. And so anger also, let her see there, exposes your inability to control your emotions. When an angry person is just letting loose and unleashing his emotions, it does not show that he or she is a strong person. It shows that they are a weak person who cannot control their emotions. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 16, it says, "A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame." And certainly, I had already quoted this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 27. The Apostle Paul understood what it was to control his emotions and control his body and his flesh. And when you allow anger just to be a rage that's coming out of you, all you're doing is showing you don't have control over yourself. All you're doing is showing that you're weak in your faith and weak in your spiritual walk. Because Christ is in you, and Christ can strengthen you, and Christ can give you the victory, and you don't have to be overcome with these things and allow yourself to be out of control. And so anger. I remember when before I got saved, and I was an alcoholic, and I'd get drinking, and anger would come out of me. And I would just be out of control, just out of control. And I got saved, and I realized real quick that God could take control of my emotions and everything else, and God worked a miracle in my life and delivered me from that stuff, and I'm thankful for that, but God taught me a great lesson. You do not have to be out of control, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. And so you need to get yourself under control. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's anger. I don't care whether it's lust. I don't care whether it's fleshly desires that you have, sinful actions that you have. You can get yourself under control. And so we're talking about anger. We're not going to get on those other things. So when you're an angry person, you need to realize the effect on others around you, that you're exposing yourself to others, that you do not have the ability to control yourself. Letter D, what happens? It generates anger in others. And Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 18, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife." And so if you're a person that's always mad about everything, most likely you're going to have people around you that are always mad about everything. And they say birds of the feather flock together. And you want to be an angry person, there'll be other angry people that you can sit there and you can argue and debate with and be mad at all the time. But the reality is, you don't want to be an angry person where you're constantly stirring up wrath in somebody else. And so your anger does affect other people. Notice it can motivate others to seek revenge. In Proverbs chapter 20, in verse 22, says, "Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee." So don't say, "Well, I'm going to get even with so-and-so, and they did me wrong, and I'm going to get back at them." And then what happens is maybe your children hear you say that, your spouse hears you say that, your friends hear you say that, and then they start thinking in their minds they're justified in being vengeful themselves. In Proverbs chapter 24, in verse 29, says, "Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render unto the man according to his work." And so, no, watch out. Don't be a vengeful person. Vengeance comes out of anger that is uncontrolled. Because when you're angry, you're going to get even somehow, some way, you're going to get back at that person that did you wrong. And let me tell you, there's enough people to go around to do people wrong. And every one of us could testify tonight of somebody who has done us wrong, and somebody's taken advantage of us, or whatever it may be, or they may be disappointed us, or they've hurt us in some way, but that gives you no justification to have a vengeful spirit to get even or get at somebody. God did not set you up as the judge of that person. God is the one who will take care of them. And you can let God take care of it. The reason is this. If you have a vengeful spirit, then all you're going to do is constantly be stirring up those bad emotions in you that just keep boiling the pot until it's going to blow up, and then you're going to hurt someone or hurt yourself. So watch out. It can motivate others to be seeking vengeance on others. The letter F there, it is energized by hate and not by love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, it speaks about that love thinketh no evil. Love always is thinking of positive things and how to influence others in a positive way. He says here, is not easily provoked. And so love doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. And so, listen, an angry spirit in somebody is very clear that you are not allowing the love of Christ to manifest itself in your life. Because when Christ was questioned and interrogated, when he's reviled, he reviled not again. When Christ was being crucified, he didn't say, "Father, send the 10,000 angels and zap them right now." He hung on the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." If anybody had justification to be able to launch vengeance and wrath on a people, on someone, it was Jesus Christ. But he didn't, because he showed us what real love is. And vengeance and anger and wrath are motivated and generated by hate and not by love. And letter G there, is it will lead to physical harm of others. And we know the story back in Genesis chapter 4, because of Adam and Eve's sin, the animal was slain, the blood of atonement was established, Cain brought an offering unto the Lord that was of the fruit of the land, the works of his own hands, and God had respect unto Abel's offering, but not to Cain's offering. And in verse 5 of Genesis 4, "But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect." And here it is. "And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" Now, I've talked to other different people about this over the years. They've said, "Well, I just don't feel God's blessing me. I don't feel this is done." And they get arguing. Wait a minute. Isn't there a principle that's established in the Word of God? If thou doest well, won't thou be accepted? And look what happens. His response. He said, "If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Why? Because of anger. Because he felt that he was treated unfairly. Because he felt that he had justification to be able to have his offering accepted of God when it was the offering that God desired and what God required and what God longed for. And because he didn't get the response that he felt that he should have gotten the response, his anger was out of control to literally he physically slays his brother. So anger has an effect on other people. I always get tickled sometimes. People just say, well, I'm not bothering anybody myself. And that's not true. Because every action you do does create a reaction in others.
Right.
And so realize that anger affects others. Not only that, but anger, the effect on yourself. Not letter A there is just simply this. It will cause you to act foolishly. And oftentimes people just are, I feel like telling people, why don't you look in the mirror? You know, I mean, look at what you're doing. Look at how you're acting. I'll tell you, some of these people right now need to, in our society, needs to look in the mirror and look how stupid they are in their actions. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 9 says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. So not only do you affect others that are around you because of anger, but it affects yourself. It makes you do foolish things. And letter B there, it will cause you to make bad decisions. And we know 1 Samuel, we don't have time to look up all these verses, but we know 1 Samuel chapter 18, that's where Saul was jealous of David. Simply because of the fact that people, they sang and they said, boy, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And from that time on, the Bible says that Saul eyed David. He was jealous of David. His emotions were out of control with David. And from that point on, Saul is making bad decision upon bad decision because of his anger. It affects yourself. You get yourself out of control and you put yourself in positions that will harm yourself and others around you. Let her see there, it will cause me to miss God's blessings. And I don't want to be in a position where I'll miss out on any of God's blessings because of the fact of anger, my emotions being out of control in 2 Kings in chapter 5. In reference to Naaman, it tells us in verse 10, Elijah sent a messenger unto him saying, go wash in the Jordan 7 times and thy flesh shall come again to thee and thou shalt be clean. And Naaman was wroth and went away. You realize how close Naaman was to completely missing the blessing and healing of God. And it was because of one reason, his anger. He felt that he was not being treated properly. I figured he'd send somebody out to me. He would come out to me. He would pronounce healing upon me. Some great miraculous thing would take place in my life. Doesn't he understand who I am? I'm Naaman. And because of his anger, he was that close to missing out on God's blessing. And I'm going to tell you, many times I think people miss the blessings of God because our anger robs us of that opportunity. So the anger, the effect on yourself. Letter D there, it will disqualify me for service of God. And Titus, you know, 1 Timothy chapter 3 gives us the requirements for a pastor. And certainly Titus, in Titus chapter 1, Paul once again repeats the qualifications of a pastor. And right in the middle of it, he mentions this in verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed. And here it is, not soon angered. And so if I allow anger to overwhelm me and control me and manipulate me, my thoughts, my decisions, my actions, and everything else, I'm disqualified. I have no right to stand up and say I'm going to be a bishop. I'm going to be the pastor of the church. The bishop is the overseer of the church. That's what the pastor is. It's a synonymous word with pastor. Pastor means shepherd. Bishop means overseer. And he said, you're not qualified if you're soon angered. And over the years, I tell you, there's been a lot of things that could cause me to lose my temper. And I've had to bite my tongue a lot of times. And I haven't always done well in that area, but I've asked God to help me not to be soonly angered, quickly angered over things. God, give me wisdom to discern what is going on. I've had people come in my office, and I've had to tell them, look, I'll talk to you later. I can't talk to you right now. And I've called up someone else, some other preacher I know, and got counsel about how to deal with situations or whatever, because I don't want to be driven to anger. I don't want to make a foolish decision. I don't want to make decisions that are just basically driven by my emotions that are out of control, that are being manipulated by the devil. And so we should be careful that we don't allow ourselves to become driven with anger, because it'll disqualify us of being used of God. I like what this one quote, anonymous quote, anger is a condition in which the tongue works faster than the mind. I'm going to tell you, when you start feeling the temperature rising, you start feeling the emotions get out of control, zip it. Close the mouth and don't say anymore. And get alone with God and pray and ask God how you should respond to that. Because I'll guarantee you, your anger will cause you to say something you will regret later. And hopefully it will not be something that will cause damage that cannot be turned around. Watch what you say. Dr. Ben Carson, I love his story. But he had to deal with anger as a kid, and I was reading one of his quotes, and I read his book, and I have a DVD on his life, and it's an amazing how God worked in his life. But he said this: in general, I was a good kid. It usually took a lot to make me mad, but once I reached the boiling point, this is what got me. He said, I lost all rational control. You let your anger take control, you will lose all rational control. He says, totally without thinking, when my anger was aroused, I grabbed the nearest brick, rock, or stick to bash someone. It was as if I had no conscious will in the matter. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You're in serious trouble when you're getting that condition. You are in serious trouble when you allow your anger to affect yourself to where you are completely out of control. You have no will to do what is right, but rather you're being driven by the emotion. So understand anger's effect on yourself. Well, understand the anger, the effect can be controlled. Letter A there, quickly, just look at that as admit. Admit that you are capable of it. I've had people over the years say, well, I would never do that. That's a dangerous place to be. Because as soon as you say, I will never do it, I'll guarantee you there will be an opportunity for you to do it. Admit it, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Your sin nature will get out of control if you don't keep it under the authority of Christ. So admit that you're capable of it. And letter B there, acknowledge that this is not the will of God. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So how can I allow anger to control me and manipulate me and dominate me and say, well, I'm in the center of the will of God? No, you're not. Because your anger will draw you out of the center of the will of God. And then recognize the alternative. In other words, there is an alternative to being an angry person and being out of control emotionally. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8 says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitudes of sins. So when someone does something against you or offends you or whatever, realize this, that wait a minute, love or charity is what covers a multitude of sins. I don't have to allow their wrong towards me to cause me to fall into sin. They may be sinning against me, but I don't have to allow them to draw me into that sin also. There is an alternative. The alternative is putting on the new man. The alternative is putting on Christ. The alternative is responding in the love of Christ. That's the alternative.
Amen.
You say, why would I make that conscious effort to do that? Because it's far too damaging to allow yourself to be controlled and manipulated by anger. You need to control the anger. And here's some concluding thoughts. Anger, first of all, letter A, anger is an emotion that is in everyone. And every one of us have it. It's how much it manifests itself depends on how much you're willing to allow it to manifest itself, whether you're going to bring it under the authority of Christ or not. So anger is an emotion that is in everyone. Letter B there. Anger is not sin until expressed in an unscriptural way. Be angry and sin not. We all have that emotion of anger. But the difference is whether you're going to allow yourself to respond in an unscriptural way. Be angry just simply means righteous indignation. And a righteous indignation is, there is things that God is angry at. There is wrath that God pours out. God doesn't sin. It is a controlled response to that which is wicked and is wrong. Be angry, that means just have righteous indignation. The problem is, probably 99% of the time, we don't have righteous indignation.
It's true.
We just have anger, it's out of control. Because righteous indignation means you've got to be righteous. Righteous indignation means you're responding completely in a holy thought process with no selfish desires whatsoever in being upset about or resenting what has taken place. And the reality is, hardly ever do we respond that way. I've had people over the years say, well, you know, brother, I have righteous indignation. I'm like, boy, you just puffed yourself up in pride.
Right.
And so be angry means to have righteous indignation. Sin not means don't be out of control, but allow God's indignation be seen. In other words, let God take care of it. Let God do it. I have found this over the years, that I can mess up things quicker than I can blink my eyes. And I have found this, rather than me trying to spiritualize myself and saying, well, I have righteous indignation, I have found that it's better for me to say, most likely I'm not going to respond with righteous indignation. I'm just going to respond in anger. So God, show me your indignation.
Amen.
I commit this situation to you. God, you take care of it. And you know what? All the pressure's off.
Right.
Because now I don't have to worry about trying to get my emotions out under control, because my emotions are involved in it.
Amen.
And the last thought is this. Just realize this. Satan wants to control. He wants to be in control of directing this emotion in your life. James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The devil wants, listen, he wants control, and he wants to direct your thought process. And if he can destroy your life like he did Cain's life by manipulating him to a point of being angry to where he slew his brother, you will be shocked. You would be shocked at what you are capable of if your emotions get out of control. So we're talking about in this series, putting on the new man. Last week we talked about putting away lying. This week Paul is dealing with anger, controlling our anger. And so let's not be driven by emotions. Let's be driven by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God.